All right, enough about this song from Melania Trump. I'm Scoot on the air, all right, Wednesday afternoon. Hey, I'm just joking, okay? What in the hell happened to the Saints? Were they trying? It's to the point where it's just downright sad. And I guarantee you, changes are coming. Now, maybe the Saints won't want to change because they want me to be wrong. But some of the things that I've talked about the last 2 years are coming to a head. You'll see, and we'll talk about it when it happens. But it's going to happen. Not going to say any more, but it's going to happen. And it's going to happen because it is the source of the problem. It's one of the lowest common denominators of the problem. But it's going to be taken care of. You'll see. All right. It's Halloween Eve. Tomorrow on the show, I love talking about this every year. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about the needles and the razor blades and apples and the poison and candy and all of that stuff. Do you know that all of that was based on an urban myth? The media took a couple of incidents and blew things out of proportion. Imagine the media doing something wrong. The media turned that into an urban myth. Do you know that that never happened in reality? And I remember being on the air in the mid-80s on B97, and I remember actually promoting that. I don't know, I was also on Q93. So it was one of those years, right before, I don't know, in the early to mid-80s. I remember talking about you can go to East Jefferson Hospital and you can get your candy x-rayed. And I was promoting this on the air like, this is a real problem. You know, you need to get your kids candy x-rayed. There's nothing wrong with it. Radiation, don't worry about any of that. And you can get it x-rayed and East Jefferson Hospital is going to do it free. All of that fear was based on a myth. It never really happened. So I can't wait to talk about that. So, you know, buying into things that you hear in the media that turn into some kind of a frenzy is not new, but it's really kind of amazing to go back. I'll write a blog about this, and we'll talk about it on the show tomorrow. So we'll have a lot of fun since tomorrow is Halloween. All right, a lot of politics to get to. Joe Rogan had Donald Trump on for 3 hours. And one of the comments, I didn't hear it, but one of the comments that I heard was that the interview humanized Donald Trump. And I mentioned recently that I had seen an interview with Donald Trump on the podcast YouTube channel of comedian Theo Von, who, by the way, is from Covington. Very successful. And Theo interviewed Donald Trump. And I have never seen that side of Donald Trump. It was a great interview. He wasn't bombastic. He wasn't spewing what he usually spews. I saw a different side of him. And so apparently that's what happened with Joe Rogan as well. So there is another side to Donald Trump that he doesn't let many of us see. If Donald Trump would let that side of him out, instead of all this machismo, bravado, BS, he would be leading in the polls, and the election would probably be a landslide. I don't know why he can't let that out. Or maybe there are people close to him, like Stephen Miller, who won't let it out because they're hardcore, and they're directing him in a hardcore direction. So, I mean, Donald Trump would be far, far ahead. I think we'd be expecting a landslide for Donald Trump if he would let that side out, but he can't do it. But there is that side to Donald Trump. And I enjoyed the interview with Theo Von. And again, I saw a different side of Donald Trump. And apparently that's what happened with Joe Rogan. But here's an interesting question. And there are a lot of rumors out there. All I can do is give you the credible information I have. You can believe what you want to believe. But Joe Rogan interviewed Donald Trump and Kamala Harris wanted to come on. And he refused to let her on. Now, there's a rumor out there, and I call it a rumor because it contradicts my credible source, but again, you believe what you want to believe. She declined. She didn't want to go on. And maybe at one point she declined. I don't know. But I know that in the end, she wanted to go on and he wouldn't have her on. Now, does Joe Rogan have a responsibility to have Kamala Harris on if he had Donald Trump on? There was a time in our nation's history, in the history of the media, when Joe Rogan would have had to have Kamala Harris on. But I think the fairness doctrine fell apart under Ronald Reagan, and that's what led to Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. That's what led to this whole idea that the media can be biased. And one day on the show, maybe I should talk about the history of the fairness doctrine. Because if you're, you know, millennial, Zoomer, maybe an Xer, you're not familiar with that. But it was a very significant change in the media in this country. And this is what gave birth to the media that we have today that is so opinionated. Like it or not, that's the reality. But the fairness doctrine was dropped. It was a doctrine that required the media give equal time to the other candidates. Well, I think that fell apart that was dismissed under Ronald Reagan. And since then, this is what we have. That led to Rush Limbaugh. That led to, again, biased, opinionated talk radio. Does Joe Rogan have a responsibility to have her on? No, he doesn't. If he doesn't want to have her on, he doesn't have to have her on. If Joe Rogan wants to use his show to promote Donald Trump, he has every right to do that. If you want to join us with your comment, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Now, Joe Rogan, I'm sure, has a lot of viewers, a lot of listeners to his podcast, because he has the number one podcast, or number one YouTube channel or whatever, in the country. And there are going to be a lot of people who are voting for Kamala Harris. They may choose to judge him based on his unwillingness to have Kamala Harris on. That would be a negative thing for him. But Joe Rogan has every right to just have Donald Trump on and not Kamala Harris. All right, we're going to go to Coleman. You want to do a couple of texts? Ian's off today. Coleman is our studio producer, and he's helping me out with some of the texts today. So let's fire away at a few.
Yeah, this one says, the closer we get to election day, the more unhinged the show and the callers become. But I'm loving it.
Well, I am, too, because you know what? Let's relish and embrace the entertainment value of all of this. Because, again, I remind you, for those of you who are younger, I mean, I don't think it's going to always be this way. But it didn't used to be this way. It wasn't always this hateful. It wasn't always like this. You know, you didn't hear things about, you know, the size of somebody's penis. You didn't hear things about, you know, porn stars going to bed, wife pregnant, you're banging somebody. You didn't hear that kind of stuff. So, you know, let's embrace the excitement. You don't hear about, like, you know, Puerto Rico being called an island of garbage, you know, floating in the ocean. So, you know, don't expect it to always be this exciting.
So, Scoot, you mentioned earlier that you saw a humanized version of Donald Trump, and I think Jeff Bezos kind of alluded to that. It seems like podcasters and memers are doing a better job at presenting who politicians really are than the legacy media, you know, and I think that's why he said, you know, we have to pull back from endorsing the candidate. But it does seem like, you know, politicians are getting more, you know, introduced to the general public by podcasters and just random people who aren't in the legacy media. Do you see that trend?
Yeah, I mean, I see that, but I still leave it up to the politician to show who they want to show. And they let that, Donald Trump lets that person out in a couple of these intimate interviews. He could let that person out at a rally, but he doesn't. And Donald Trump cannot win if everybody at that rally is voting for him, if everybody at every rally that Donald Trump has votes for him, that's not enough to get him elected. So, when Donald Trump does a rally, it's the sound bites that the networks pick up on. That's what sells him to people outside of his base. If Donald Trump doesn't win over the rhinos, who are highly criticized by Trump and MAGA people, if he doesn't win over the rhinos and the independents, he's not going to win. So to win, he has to win those people over. Is he doing that? We don't know. The polls show everything is really close.
So a lot of people are pretty much sending in the same text that says the reason Rogan didn't have Kamala on because Rogan wanted Kamala to do all 3 hours, but she wanted to do only 1 hour. And that was where the discrepancy lies.
okay, maybe so. I'll have to dig a little deeper. I got this. I've got this story from a credible source, so I will. I'll look into that. I'll see. What I just have is that she ultimately refused to have her on. But I will look into that.
Okay. On a lighter note, this text says, "Kudos to the people of New Orleans for such a wonderful celebration of Eric Paulson's life." With the second line yesterday, "New Orleans, you did good."
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I was in Portland when I heard the news, and I was just stunned. I was going to talk about Eric in the next hour, but I was stunned because Eric Paulson announced that he was taking some time off to deal with his cancer, and I didn't know he had cancer. I think that was pretty much a secret, and boom, he's passed away. I was shocking. And it is a reminder that life is fleeting. And, you know, be careful who you hate. Be careful who you express hate to. Because you could be really hating somebody who ends up passing away. And there could be some guilt there. So just be careful who you hate. But Eric Paulson was loved by so many. He started off doing one of the hosts of an afternoon show called PM Magazine, and then he ended up being an anchor on Channel 4. But you know, I've made fun of Eric a lot on the show. He did have a side of him that was a little bit aggravating, I guess, at times. But you know, I've always had a lot of fun. Having fun with Eric Paulson, but you know, he was in the crew of Bad Hatters, and enjoyed being with him in those situations. And you know, Eric and I were not friends, but I would call him a media acquaintance, and I knew him and had talked to him many, many times. And you know, as soon as I heard that, my thoughts and prayers were with him and his family, and I hope that he was in a comfortable spot at this point. All right, we're going to get to a break. If you're on hold, stay with us. We've got some more calls and more of your text to get to. If you want to join us this afternoon, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And I want to remind you about the garbage comment that President Biden made. He should not have made the comment, but he did. But my God, you know, weren't you taught as a kid that words can't hurt you? The way people are reacting to this, you would think that people are dying. And then what about the mentality of these teenagers, one of them 18 years old with an 18-inch machete, going to a polling place in Florida to intimidate women who are voting early? I mean, what is that about? Don't we have the freedom to vote for who we want to vote for? I mean, I don't recognize this country as the country that it used to be. And that's not my fault. I'm tired of people trying to change this country for the worse. And it's happening. I mean, this is a great effing country. And I'm tired of hearing that we're garbage. We're the, you know, the garbage can. Trump said something about we're the garbage can of the world. No, we're not. You know, I just flew across the country, flew to Portland and back, and you know, one stop in Salt Lake City, going there, a stop in L.A., coming back. I saw a lot of the country. I saw a lot of people. We're a great country. People with the freedom to travel and go where they want to go. Families traveling. Mothers and fathers with their kids traveling. This is a great country, and I'm tired during this campaign of hearing what a piece of trash we are. And that we're, you know, and that because of Biden and Harris, you know, we're a bad country. We're trash now. We're garbage. And so the strategy is to make it seem like we're trash and garbage as a way of making it seem like you got to vote for Trump because otherwise we're trash. I don't buy that. Vote for Trump if you want to vote for Trump. But don't buy into this idea that we are trash. I mean, you should be a better American than that to buy into that. Sure, we got problems, and sure, there's inflation. There's a lot of other stuff going on, and not everything is perfect. But where else you want to be? If you want to join us, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We're not trash. We're a great country. But think about the degrading of America that has taken place during this campaign cycle. I reject it. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. This is The Nightmare Before Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us this afternoon. CNN polling guru Harry Enten says that he has this sense that the polls might be underestimating Kamala Harris, meaning that even though the polls are showing them essentially at a tie, in the same way that the polls underestimated Donald Trump in 2016, that they might be underestimating Kamala Harris now. Now, we're not going to know until after the election, and, you know, hang on, because we're not going to know, in all probability, we're not going to know who wins right away. So, you know, fasten your seatbelts, because there could be a little turbulence after the election before it's actually announced who is who's the winner. But I've said for weeks now that I'm just not sure the polls are accurate. I think there are people who are voting for Trump who don't want to say it even to a pollster. And I think there are also people voting for Harris who don't want to say it. They don't want to say they're voting against Trump, even though it's to a pollster and it's just between them and the pollster. I still think they consider the pollster to be part of the media or part of the public, and I think people don't want to say it. So I'm not sure the polls are accurate. So we'll have to see what happens. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Gretna. Rick, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. You can hear me okay, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I would just like, if it's okay, bring out three things about the evil from within.
Okay.
And this is government military service.
Okay.
Would that be okay with you? And I've experienced all three of these firsthand and personal.
Okay.
The evil within. Number one was, and I'm an enlisted man. I never was an officer.
Okay.
But number one, in Kuwait, in duties between Iraq, a buddy of mine was returning a disc that he borrowed from a female. His toes were across the borderline at the bottom of the door. A senior officer in that unit saw that, and he was written up and lost rank for being in a female barracks. They don't call them barracks, they call them pod.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up losing rank, and he ended up committing suicide. The second one was, on multiple occasions, the same senior enlisted person in the Mideast, in that type of hot climate, was getting on people for not having a button, or if the shirt tail was halfway out the waist. He'd get on people and write them up. And then one person got reduced in rank, and he was ready to retire. And because he couldn't finish his tour, and he had to retire at a lesser grade, but he was put out the unit from being reducted in rank from having his shirt tail out, something that minor. Yes,
okay.
You could say a rule's a rule. And the third one is, they had a Christmas BX sing-along for a $500 BX card.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in this. And I sang a song, If I Could Dream, by Elvis. And I introduced it and sang it. And I had the guitarist from the Catholic Church play the guitar, and it was just he and I. And then they had like eight people competing for this $500 BX card. And the next day in line, you know, I got my accolades and I do have it on film. But the next day in line, I didn't win. And somebody asked me, hey, my last name, I'm not going to say that.
That's
but
good.
Hey, Rick, you was in that BX contest. How'd you do? And then I ended up saying, I didn't win. A brother won with his hip-hop rap music, and the audience majority was of the black nature. And
okay.
Because I said that brother word, I got reprimanded and lost rank at that one time. But I ended up getting it back. But I spoke silly on the moment. I sang a different cultural song. The audience applauded to him, and he won. But I'm just saying, you could pull people behind, reprimand them, make them clean toilets or paint parking lines in a parking lot. But You do have evil people from within. But that's it.
Rick, first of all, thank you for your service to our country. I'll thank you for that. If you're singing in front of a largely African-American group and somebody does
hip-hop... No, it was mixed.
Okay.
But the majority more so.
Okay, so look, maybe they just like the hip-hop song more. And, you know, you can't blame anybody for that. Maybe you just didn't do the right song.
No, I accepted the loss. Okay. I just was... When a senior leadership overheard me the next day in the lunch line saying,
"Oh, brother
okay. won with his hip-hop rap music and loud bong stuff."
Yeah,
that's what got me.
Well, Rick, I'm not gonna comment on the specific rules of the military like that. It seems very strict, but the military has to be strict. But how does this relate how does this relate to Trump talking about the enemy from within?
Well, I'm just saying, even like that, inside the unit, inside the military, overseas one mission, you got people killing themselves. The guy had his toes across and he committed suicide.
Well, you know, we don't know. Look, that's very sad. We don't know if that's the only reason. We don't know if there were other things going on in his life. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of people who have been in the military end up committing suicide, and it's tragic. But I don't know that we know the full story there. When Donald Trump talks about the enemy from within, he's talking about, and he's named specific names like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. These are Democrats who disagree with Donald Trump. There is an inherent danger in referring to political opposition that is not committing any crime as the enemy within. There's a concern about talking about Democrats or maybe people in the media who don't agree with Donald Trump, referring to them as the enemy from within. That's not a true definition of the enemy from within. Domestic terrorists from the past, spies who were selling secrets to the Russians during the Cold War. There are people who are indeed the enemy from within. But man, that's a catchphrase, and it should be scary AF to everybody in America that somebody running for president would talk about his political opposition as the enemy from within. I wrote a blog about this. It's still posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Got a lot of reaction to this because it's really scary. And the people that Donald Trump is talking about do not qualify as the enemy from within. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. More of your calls and more of your text messages are coming up. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1984, Bruce Springsteen released Born in the USA. That was the single was released on this day in 84. The single, the album, both went to number one. This is quite often played by some people, not this show. This is quite often played on Memorial Day and the 4th of July. We don't do that because this is really kind of an anti-American song. It's criticism of how the country treated vets coming back from Vietnam. So it is not a positive rah-rah America. It's kind of sarcastic, like, you know, born in the USA. Yeah, well, guess what? This is who you are. And again, I hope no conservatives have changed their opinion of Bruce Springsteen because he's endorsing Kamala Harris. I would love to talk to anybody who has changed their opinion of Bruce Springsteen because he endorsed Kamala Harris. Or can you put that aside and just appreciate the music and the artist? I'm Scoot on the Air, and we're coming back on WWL. Tomorrow is Halloween night. Hopefully the weather stays nice. I mean, if it rains, hopefully it's during the day. And I remember as a kid how much fun it was to come home from school and start to get your costume ready and you went out trick-or-treating. It's so much different today. And we'll talk more about that on the show tomorrow. And as I mentioned, I want to go into detail explaining about how all of the fear about candy and stuff and apples and all that stuff, all of that fear, that whole frenzy is based on a myth. It never happened. And I can't wait to explain that to you tomorrow. I will also write a blog about it, so you have it in writing as well. But it's fascinating to see how this country fell for a total myth. And it's really because of the media. All right, if you're on hold, we'll get to your calls here in just a moment. The Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Here's a text that says, Hillary spoke about her opposition in the same manner Trump does. No, she didn't. Here's what Joe Biden said about the Republicans and Trump supporters being garbage. He was talking about the Trump rally. He said, and just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Ricans that I know the Puerto Ricans that I kind of jumbled up here, you know, because sometimes Joe Biden isn't, you know, totally coherent. He said, I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. These are his words. They're good, decent, honorable people. He said, the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. And he has demonized Latinos. It's unconscionable and it's un-American. All right. So what? I mean, it's bad. He shouldn't have said it. I mean, there was a talk on a conversation on CNN last night about whether or not Joe Biden should be on the campaign trail with Kamala Harris. No, he shouldn't be. I think he's only going to hurt her. And I love that, you know, Republicans said he's too old to be president. He shouldn't be, you know, this is when it was Trump and Biden. Just condemned him because he's too old to run the country. And then they criticize him for getting out of the race. I mean, this is the part that's actually funny to me. But, you know, you can't take this stuff too seriously. Joe Biden has walked back on it, but Joe Biden shouldn't have said that. But that's where we are in this whole campaign. Let's get to more of your calls. Let's go to Jeff in Mid-City. Jeff, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello, yeah. Jeff.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, by the way.
Okay, good. Glad to have you back. I remember years ago when it was vote for Duke or the crook?
Yep, I remember.
Well, the way I feel about it, vote for all the Republicans you want. I have voted for Republicans. But if you're voting for the Nazi supporter and the one who endorses dictators, you are garbage.
You think Trump's
That's
a Nazi? You think Trump sympathizes with...
Yes.
Yeah. You think he's fascist?
He admires Putin. Absolutely. He wants it all about him and all of...
Yeah. I think people who are quick to denounce the possibility that Trump thinks in terms of fascist ideology don't really understand the definition of fascism, because there are aspects of what he says that reflect fascism.
Absolutely. And he's openly said he admires people like Hitler and his generals.
Yeah.
We put all our resources into defeating these people. And now there are people in this country that want to elect a man who admires them? Garbage. Deplorables.
All right, Jeff. Glad you had a chance to express your opinion. That's what we do here. The Okunard Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. I don't think Donald Trump is a Nazi, but there are aspects of what he talks about. There are aspects of Project 2025. And I think that's going to be implemented if Trump wins. Now, if I'm wrong, I'll be here to say, hey, guess what? I was wrong. Man, there's no signs of Project 2025. But if Trump is elected and we start to see aspects of Project 2025 coming in, you don't have to call and say, hey, I'm sorry, Scoot, you were right, I was wrong. You don't have to call in or send a text. But we'll know that Project 2025 is the work of people who want to change our country in what I think is a very negative way. So we'll see what happens. You know, Trump does seem to have this affinity for dictators. And January 6th was sort of an indication that he wanted to be one, not accepting the results of a fair election. So those are the things that concern me. But again, this is America. You are free to vote for whoever you want to vote for. Don's on the North Shore. Don, welcome to WWL.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Two quick things, one on Joe Rogan and one on the comedian.
Okay.
First on Joe Rogan, I heard the 3-hour that she refused to do the 3 hours, only wanted to do the 1 hour. I heard that on News Nation. So if that gives you some solace.
Yeah, by the way, you know, I didn't say
that's
it.
Where I went.
Don, you're right. I don't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, I failed to mention this. I did check on that during the break, and so apparently, Harris said only an hour, and she was wrong. She should have done the 3 hours. So Joe Rogan gave her a chance to do an hour. I mean, gave her a chance to be on, but she'd have to be on for 2 or 3 hours. Let him do his show. So Kamala Harris was not rejected by Joe Rogan. Kamala Harris refused to agree to the conditions, and I agree with Joe Rogan in that case. You either follow the rules of the show or you're not on.
Absolutely, I agree, and thank you for that correction. But on the comedian side, comedians are, a large portion of them are offensive. It doesn't bother me that he said what he said and that it was offensive, racist, or whatever. It bothers me that he was on the stage and he wasn't funny.
He wasn't.
He wasn't funny.
I mean, the delivery.
That's the problem.
The delivery wasn't even funny.
He's not funny.
No, it was. I mean, this guy did nothing to help his career.
Think about it, Scoot. Think about all of the offensive comedians that you can think of. I can think of Carlos Mencia. I'm not going to say how they're offensive, but Carlos Mencia, Cat Williams, Mickey Glazer, Tim Allen, to some people. Well, I mean, Richard Pryor.
Don,
they're all offensive, but they're funny.
You could take mainstream comedians, and almost half of what they say is offensive to somebody. I mean, that's comedy. Comedy is based on, I mean, what's funny about it is that, well, because it's stereotypes. And even mainstream comedians can be offensive. So, you know, I agree with you. That guy's biggest crime was just that he's not funny.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Don.
Everybody, have a wonderful Halloween.
Thanks, Don. I can't figure out how that comedian got the title of comedian. I mean, let's reserve that for people who are actually funny. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back with a lot more. We got a lot going on this afternoon. I mean, it's the eve of Halloween, and then, of course, tomorrow is Halloween, and the election is less than a week away. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1970, the Doors lead singer Jim Morrison was sentenced to 6 months in jail and fined $500 for exposing himself during a concert in Miami. The case was still on appeal when he died in July of 1971. In later years, band manager Vince Traynor would insist that the incident never happened. Guy should have been a politician, because apparently it did, and there's evidence that Jim Morrison took it out on stage. He took it out. It? Yeah, he took it out on stage. You know, no need for that. Nobody needs to see that. Well, I guess some people like it. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Happy birthday today to Gavin Rossdale, lead singer of Bush. He's that really good-looking guy who was the lead singer of the band Bush. This is my favorite Bush song. Gavin Rossdale, 59 years old today. You know, this was a very integral part of that grunge alternative music sound. Gavin Rossdale was married to Gwen Stefani, and she caught him cheating with the nanny. And apparently the nanny was like really hot, young and hot. You know, don't let your husbands be involved in deciding who the nanny is, okay? You know, there are a lot of ugly nannies out there that you can hire that might not be so tempting. We've got a lot more still to come, and I'm really proud of Louisiana for having a record turnout with early voting, so that's really a good thing. And just a little bit about the Saints. All right, I'm Scoot. We've got a lot more still to come, so if you're on hold, hang on. We'll be right back.